some of you might have heard I started coaching my son's under six soccer team this year, and Sarah's got her boy in there, Spencer, and man, five-year-old boys just started prep, just been taken down to the local soccer club. A few of them may have some behavioural issues, some listening issues, and I'm there, Coach Caleb, trying to pull these bunch of five-year-olds together, and they're picking each other up and seeing who's the strongest and looking at the clouds and the stars and whatever, and not listening and not concentrating on how to learn the game of soccer. It's a real challenge. And we had our first game a couple of weeks ago down in Seaford. So we're Langwarrin, the Lions. We played Seaford Tigers. And all the boys want to be the goalkeeper, right? So we play four quarters with the little boys, okay, 40 minutes, four 10-minute quarters. And I've said to them, if anybody asks me to be the goalkeeper, you won't be the goalkeeper, okay? Coach Caleb will choose a goalkeeper each quarter. So they all stand there at quarter time. They want to be the goalkeeper because they get a special green shirt, and then they get special goalkeeping gloves and get to stand there. And my little boy, Jed, obviously wants to be the goalkeeper. And so I gave him a go the other week. I think it was the second quarter of the game. And all right, Jed, you got to watch the ball and wait for it to come down the field. And then you got to jump on it. I'm explaining it to him. And the game begins and we take off and they're all playing. They all run around chasing the ball like that on the field, you know, 15 little kids. And the ball comes down the field one time and Jed's there hanging on the crossbar. Like, Jed, get off the crossbar, concentrate. You know, this all, and most of them are like this. My son's probably the worst, but hanging off the crossbar. And anyway, the ball didn't go all the way down then. And I'm like, Jed, you got to focus on the game. Get your gloves up. Watch down the field for when the next time it comes. So we play for a couple more minutes. Then all of a sudden it comes down again. There's a little Seaford Tiger on a breakaway towards the goals. And I turn around to look at Jed to tell him to get ready. And he's playing in the net on the side, like kicking the net. I'm like, Jed, quickly, gloves up, they're coming. And then he tries to pull his feet out of the net and he can't get them out. They're caught in the goal net. So he's kind of there like a fish, like trying to get his feet out. And the little boy runs down and kicks the ball in the goals. And Jed's stuck there in the net like a fish caught. And all the little other little boys run up to me, Coach Caleb, why didn't he do that? What's Jed doing? Why is he stuck in the net? Can I have a go in goals? And it's like, it's full on. It's really full on. But we invited the families over a couple of weeks ago to come over to our place to have a morning tea and just to meet all the parents and stuff like that. And it was just fantastic. It was really nice. Zoe and I really just enjoyed meeting some new people, broadening our horizons, our friendship group. Obviously, most of my life as a pastor is pretty church, Christian school, Christian church, Christian friends orientated. So it's great to be out there, just being able to talk to some different people, hear their stories, hear what's important to them, what's valuable to them, and doing that through the soccer is great. And the morning tea, having them over at our house was really special. It's just amazing when you sit down and talk with people how unique everyone is, the incredible stories of where they've come from or what they're up to. And, you know, everyone has their story of crisis and challenge that they've had to overcome. So, and for me, and probably not so much for Zoe, but more for me, maintaining or building strong, deep friendships outside of the church has not been something that has been my strongest suit. And but it's something, despite that, that have always been determined and want to continue to be determined about building relationships beyond my Christian friends and beyond my Christian environments, because I want to continue to be on mission with Jesus. And Jesus' heart is for those that don't know God. And I want that to be my heart, like Jesus, and that has to be our heart, like Jesus, to be on mission with him, the mission that he died for. And this is the greatest cause. This is the greatest cause on the face of the earth, this mission of Jesus to save souls, you might say, to reconcile people, humanity, men and women of all nations back to God, their Father in heaven. This is the greatest cause. This is the greatest purpose a human being can have, to be involved in this mission of Jesus. When you're a Christian, you're invited into following Jesus, and following Jesus means following him and his mission to save all of the world. This is the greatest mission. If this isn't the greatest mission, I mean, what is? What outside of God meeting every human being and welcoming them into his family, what other greater cause could there be? Saving the whales? I mean, what is the greatest cause? Is it politics? Is it a political ideal, getting a certain person in power? Is it the mental health epidemic? Is that the greatest cause to help people fix their mental illnesses? Is it the rights of minority groups, racial groups, gay rights, the rights of women? What is the greatest cause? What is the greatest purpose on the face of the earth? These are all valuable things. Environmentalism, climate change, these are all valuable causes. These are all things that people often do out of a Christian perspective on the world, to raise up the weak, to help those that are in need, to speak up for those that don't have a voice. But I believe beyond all of those great causes, or beyond all the different purposes, missions, things that we can be involved in, must be this one cause above them all, this one mission above them all, to see people reconciled to God. So the greatest cause is to reach people with the good news about Jesus Christ. And we have to cut to the quick there. It's not just to reach people with food banks, or to reach people with love, or to reach people with acceptance. That's all part of it. But when you cut to the quick, the mission of Jesus is to reach people with the good news, the gospel, the saving grace of God. And Australia desperately needs to be reached. Do you know that 3 in 10 Australians that were surveyed, I think this was just last year, 3 in 10 Australians said that they would go to church or a church event if somebody invited them. 3 out of 10, so another 30%, said they wouldn't go to a church event if they were invited. But 40% said they were unsure, or they actually don't know a person who's a Christian. So you think 30% of people would go, and then maybe another 40%, so possibly 70%, if they actually knew somebody who was a Christian, would go to church or go to a Christian event or come to a life group or even come over to your house for dinner to talk about faith and talk about belief and talk about spiritual things. Only 4 in 10 Australians say that they actually have a church-going friend. So that means 6 out of 10 Australians don't know somebody who even has a faith or goes to church. Or maybe they do, but that person hasn't revealed that, hey, I'm actually a follower of Jesus. My hope is in Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing to me, which is probably a large percentage, I imagine. Maybe they do know a friend who goes to church. That friend has never mentioned it. And we know that Australia needs Jesus, needs God, needs a relationship with God. Everyone's quite aware that we live in a fast, fast secularizing culture. There's been no time. You are alive in an epoch of time in human history, or the last 2,000 years of human history, or the last 1,500 years, if you like, of Western history. So the West, the Christian West. We've never lived in a time where Christianity is going back like this. Between the census in 2021 and the census 10 years early in 2011, Christianity decreased almost 20%. There's now 38% of Australians that identify as no religion. That means out of the 25 million Aussies, 10 million of them say, I have no religion. I'm just secular. No God, no faith, no belief, no spiritual things, no angels, demons, afterlife, creation, none of that. I'm just none. And right here, where we live, Langwarrin, Botanic Ridge, were the highest no-religion suburbs in the entirety of Australia. Put your hand up if you live in Langwarrin or Botanic Ridge or one of those evil places. I live in Botanic Ridge. I love it. I love it. I'm so excited for the future because 58% of my neighbours said that they have no religion. They're nothing. There's nothing there. And I believe that God wants to fill their heart with something that's true, with something that's irresistible, with something that is powerful. In Australia right now, we have about 12,000 churches. So that's about one church for every 2,200 people in Australia. So every 2,200 Aussies, there's only one church. Go back about 20 years ago, there was way more churches per Australian. There was one church per 1,500 Australians. So not only is Christianity going like that on the chart, people identifying as Christian, but also the amount of churches is going like that. Although there's quite a church planting movement in Australia, and I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment, despite some church planting going on in some corners of Australia and different Christian groups, in the whole, it's going backwards very, very quick. Australia needs to be reached for Jesus, but Australia needs to be reached in a different way. As we talk about evangelism over the next few weeks, I'm going to help you unpick some old experiences that you may have had with evangelism that may not be helpful anymore. I'm going to really look to God to see, well, what is the new way, or what is a newer model, or what is the things from the past that are still relevant today and how we reach people. You see, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is unchanging. We never compromise that, and that never changes. But the way that we present the gospel must be always changing, must be relevant to the people that we reach. And I'll show you all through the New Testament how the apostles preached the gospel in different ways, in different places, to different groups, but it was always the same message. I think a lot of the problem with the church at the moment, this is a very general statement, so take it with a grain of salt. I think a lot of the problem with the church, or with Christians, us included, can be this. Quite simply, we are inward facing. We're following Jesus is all outward facing. The whole purpose of being a believer is to face and to orientate outward, outside of yourself, outside of your own home, outside of your local church. Eventually, as a faithful Christian and follower of Jesus, your faith should grow to a point that it overflows outwards towards others. Just like Christ came and ultimately sacrificed and gave his very life for the good of the world, so as we follow Jesus, everything as we grow as a Christian should start to orientate more and more away from self and to the outward. When we're inward facing, we have problems. But when we're outward facing, when a person is outward facing, a family is outward facing, a church is outward facing, it keeps us alive. It keeps us moving. It keeps us fresh. If you've had a new person join your life group, it keeps things fresh. It moves the group a little bit and the friendships a little bit, and you've got to grow a little bit and go to the next level. When people join a new church and people come under the band, or they join the kids ministry and all these kind of things, it builds life. When people come into the faith and they find Jesus, and if you help them find Jesus and you help them walk through those early days of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow Jesus, it gives you a sense of passion. It reminds you of your first love. It brings you back to that place of like, this is what it's all about. Reaching people, seeing God change lives, me being involved in his mission. That's outward facing. Soren Kierkegaard said, this is a great quote I heard last week, "The door to happiness opens outwards." We live in a culture where the door to happiness, we're told, is focusing inwards. And what you want, what you need, what you should have, what your rights are. But I think this is a great statement. The door to happiness always opens outwards. And I think in your heart of hearts, you would have to agree with me. The greatest thing you can do is to help someone, is to serve someone. That is where happiness comes, meaning comes, purpose comes. And that is the message of the gospel, to serve people by explaining to them the truth about Jesus Christ. Pastor Pete, are you around? I'm going to invite him up. Last week, we went to a conference together, all week, up in beautiful Gosford, up in the Central Coast. And we've got a few photos for you here. And we just wanted to share a bit about it. It was with a group called Reach Australia. And their, I suppose, mantra is, if we can go back to that last slide so I can remember it, healthy, evangelistic, multiplying churches. That's their mantra. And this is just a group, a network, so it's not a denomination or a worship tradition. It's not Anglican or Pentecostal or anything. It's just people who get together to do everything they can to help each other share the gospel with Aussies. And so God brought this group across my path a few years ago, and it had been in our heart for a while to go. So Pete and I said, let's jump on a plane, hang out for the week. This was a dinner we had early on. We must have heard from 50, 60, 70 people over 2.5 days, just testimonies and stories and interviews and sermons and workshops and all kinds of things. There was over 1,000 delegates there from all around Australia, from a huge spectrum of denominations, wasn't there?
I think we were the only Pentecostals there.
We didn't bump into too many Pentecostals, but they were really, really good people. We can just go through the slides, that's fine. Just a few photos for you to give you a bit of a feel of it. But Pastor Pete, what for you was the biggest thing that stuck out from the Reach Australia conference?
Yeah, probably for me, there's me there.
It's the only photo we could find of it.
I snuck in, a bit blurry, but anyway, phenomenal really. A very different conference that we'd ever been to before. Very practical in its nature. What stood out to me the most was a few sessions. One of them was titled, People Connect Through the Gospel. So people connect through the gospel, and that's important. Can we flip to that little quote that I gave you, Dan? There we go there. When we're looking for connection or belonging, we shouldn't be looking to find our people or tribe or our family. We find Christ and join his people in the local gathering to fulfill his mission. Now, for me, that was really important because on the 29th of January, 1995, I walked into this church for the very first time. And for a lot of times, I said, I found my family, I found my tribe, I found my home. But in reality, I didn't. I found Jesus Christ. If I hadn't have found him, I probably wouldn't be here 28 years later. But because I found him, I stayed. And I've stayed, and I'm still staying. I'm not going anywhere. And that's the difference. Now, I wasn't looking for a family, although I now had a gathering of people that encouraged me to find them. And this is the importance of the gospel message. So throughout the whole conference, for me, what they did do is keep the connection of the gospel and evangelism. Though we're not connected, what God connects, let no man separate. The gospel and evangelism are intimately connected. And all through, and I'll finish on this, all through the conference, I kept thinking of King David. Now, King David's rise was fraught with so many issues, so many normal issues, rejection from his own family. He wasn't even called in from the paddock when he was anointed, you know, all those things. So rejection and family issues and all that kind of stuff. And then his brothers rejected him. And then he finally got to, you know, kill Goliath. And then, you know, so many trials, so many testing, so many issues that he had to overcome and overcome and overcome. And eventually he got to the point of becoming, you know, he had to dodge spears from a crazy king. And eventually in 2 Samuel 5, He culminates with the king of all Israel. He becomes the king. Not only king, but the most powerful and successful king at the time. And he finally realizes in verse 12, and I haven't got it, but look it up. So 2 Samuel 5, verse 12, David finally realizes that all this success, all this power, all this might, all this overcoming that God brought him to, the pinnacle, the top, was for the sake of people. That's almost offensive. That he gets to the top, eyeballing God face to face, and God's heart is for the people. So no matter how successful we become, even as a church or a community of people, God's heart is always going to be for the sake of others.
And for me, I think the big thing that stuck out was just the passion, like just to see 1,000 people gathered together with this simple commonality of Jesus, the gospel, but then sharing that gospel was really, really inspiring. And to know that there's people that are working hard, the people that have given their life to develop their skills to church plant, to develop pastors, to be more effective pastors, and especially to help churches, because there's a real need in any nation of the world where Christianity is going backwards. What happens is this unique need for churches to revitalize and reboot. And so you see this all throughout Europe. It's happening a lot through Australia and New Zealand now. America's not fast behind us. They're not nowhere near as secular as us, mainly because of the southern states that are quite Christian, still have cities in America where 80% of adults go to church on a Sunday morning. But in Australia, we're definitely ahead of America, but we're behind Europe. And I'll share with you some interesting stories from Europe as we go through this series, because it gives us an idea of how we need to think about God and think about culture and think about loving our neighbour when we look at countries like Holland and Belgium and France, because that's where we're heading as a nation, and it really changes the game. But to have 1,000 people that are already there thinking that way, praying that way, trusting God, not afraid, not thinking we need to get into politics so that we can be more Christian again, and not caught on those peripheral things, or we need to get online and just tell everyone that they're wrong and that they're following lies and that demons are at them. And it's like, no, let's just put that stuff to the side. Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to prayer. Let's get back to following Jesus, and then let's organize ourselves around that to actually think through this and trust the Holy Spirit's going to lead us in a way to actually reach in the places that we are. And it was just very inspiring in that sense.
They're incredible. They just want to help each other. They're just not hoarders. They're sowers. They just, whatever they've got, they want to give. That was the other thing that really, you know, there was no hoarding, there was no what's in it for me. They were just like, however we can help, however we can assist, whatever we can do to help you in your context, they're not saying we have to become anything. They're just saying whatever we can do to help you, we'll help you. And that was like so much
truly, truly centered on the gospel, not on a ministry or a man. But quickly, Pete, tell us, how did you become a Christian? Like, when was that moment, and who helped you really start following Jesus?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of stories. So 14-year-old, you know, I went to camp. That's why camps are so good, state youth games. Camps were great. But I was 14 and I made a commitment. There was a stirring of God. And with everything within me, I wanted to follow him. But life and young, you know, I just didn't mature, really. So I don't really talk about that. But that was my father and a you know, church community. So I grew up in a Christian community. But the following part didn't really, I just wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. Yes, I believed God. That was about it. Follow him? Obey him? That's not so pleasing. So it wasn't until, and I want to say this, there was a change of life experiences, two in particular. I was 24 years old, I'm married, but now we're about to have our first child. My life is an absolute mess, right? And so it's more of a returning story, but my life's an absolute mess. And I go to prenatal classes. I'm going to be a dad, and I can't. I'm thinking something's seriously wrong. I'm about to be a dad, and I'm a mess. So we go to these prenatal classes, and by the grace of God, there were two Christians in that prenatal class. Now, we didn't know they were Christians at the time, but they were the nicest people on the planet. They ended up inviting us, you know, for a meal to come over. Now, they were planted by God without a shadow of a doubt. And we ended up having meals at their place. And through that connection, through this change of life circumstance, this, you know, I'm about to be a dad, I don't know what to do, I need help, they were there. And through that, I came back and returned back to God and had such God encounters, baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, there was like a following, a re-kicking, a rebirthing of my following towards God.
Do you think it would have happened without them?
There's no chance.
Reaching, sorry to be corny here, without them reaching out to you, because that's why we're calling this series Reach People.
Yeah.
You'll see in our part of our mission statement as a church is that word reach. Coincidentally, the conference we went to was called Reach.
Yeah.
But do you think it would have happened if they didn't actually intentionally take a step to reach?
They had no idea the internal turmoil that I was going through. Like, it was, you know, I didn't have answers. You know, I knew there was probably God, but I just thought that I've hurt him so much, I've disappointed God so much, I can't make my way back, you know. But they just showed incredible love. It's just grace upon grace. I would not have been able to do it on my own, try to work it out my own strength, understanding, because I'm only thinking of all this negative kind of thoughts towards God. He's going to reject me, he's whatever. But they gave me a different message altogether. No, he loves you. He knows your mess. He doesn't care about that. He just wants you back in fellowship with him. And that was a kind of like two or three meals, and we ended up becoming deep friends with them, great friends with them. I ended up sharing deep, you know, embarrassing things of my life with him, who helped me get, you know, back on track. I would not have been able to do it. The great thing is the reach part was not push. He didn't push anything on me. He just invited me to a meal, reached out, offered me a hand of fellowship, and so through that, it wasn't a hard process because it was an invitation. Like, I still was going to take it or not take it, but I was desperate. But he had no idea the internal turmoil that I was going through.
Really good.
Yeah, no push
what
at all.
What a great story. And aren't we happy those people reached out to Pete and he's here today? Amen. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you very much. In our little mission statement, our discipleship pathway as a church, Pete mentioned it earlier, but the connect, grow, reach. The final piece of this, the reach piece, this is what we're talking about. Reaching people, traditionally called evangelism, which is from the Greek word euangelion, which means to proclaim a message, to speak out a message. And this reach part here, what our encouragement is that people can do this from day one, but people should grow into this in their faith, is that the overflow of your connection with Jesus, the overflow of being in the church family, serving one another, growing together, deepening in our discipleship and our following of Jesus, overflows into reaching people and sharing the gospel. And our encouragement is really simple there, is to get involved in the community. Be in something outside of your family, outside of your workplace, outside of the church. Just be involved in something. It might be through your local school, might be through a charity. Just be somewhere that you can meet people and build friendships. As we heard with Pete, people went to build a friendship with him. They didn't go to get him into their church. They didn't go to say, oh God, look how good I've done. I bashed someone with a Bible and I shared the gospel and shoved it down their throat. Thank goodness I'm going to heaven. Nobody did that. They went out and they just had a meal, had a chat, talked about their life, genuine friendships. And then out of that comes the opportunity, as led by the Holy Ghost, to share the gospel. If we don't get to the point of sharing the gospel, then we haven't been faithful to Christ either. You know, being a Christian is a word religion. This is a word religion we're involved in. God spoke in the beginning and it was. God speaks through the Bible. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. And part of being a Christian is to speak, to open your mouth. It's not only through love and kind acts, but it's also through opening your mouth and saying, hey, do you want to know about Jesus? That's the reach part of the mission. Jesus' mission is our mission. I really want to keep it super simple for you. So the ultimate purpose of Discover Church, our church, or of being a Christian anywhere, I believe, is to reach people with the good news about Jesus. His mission is our mission. You know, we live in a world where we're always sold a vision. We're sold a brand. We're sold an idea, a personality to follow. Jesus is different. Following Jesus is different. It's not about some sexy vision that you align to and look how fantastic I am because I'm involved with this group or I have a position with this group. When we follow Jesus, we follow his mission. Not our own mission, not our own purpose. We follow his mission that ultimately results in healings, miracles, hearts changed, a lot of food. Jesus was constantly criticized for his eating and drinking. There's a lot of fellowship, a lot of hanging out, a lot of doing time with people, a lot of helping people practically, but helping people spiritually. This is what we do. And this mission of God is all throughout the Bible, right from the beginning. Even right back in Genesis when Adam and Eve sin, and God is judging Adam and Eve, and then eventually he talks to the serpent, and he says to the serpent in Genesis 3:15 that there'll be hostility between you and the woman, between her offspring and your offspring. But her offspring will crush your head and you'll bruise their heel. This is what God says to the serpent. We see right from the beginning, the mission of God has already begun. Even in that horrible moment of the original sin, if you like, the first time a human being rebelled against God and did it their own way. Even right back then, as God is sorting out the mess, he says there's going to be a crushing of evil, a crushing of lies, a crushing of everything that seeks to contaminate humanity, seeks to pull us down, seeks to destroy our lives. There's going to be a crushing that will come. And all through the Old Testament, this proclamation of God that the good news is coming, the crushing of evil and hate and horrible things and suffering and pain and all these things in life, these things are going to be crushed. These things are going to be dealt with. There's good news in a bad world. It echoes throughout all of the Old Testament and culminating eventually in Jesus coming And Jesus comes and says early on in Mark chapter 1 that I'm here to preach the good news of the gospel. He announces the time promised by God has finally arrived. The kingdom of God is here. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. This is the mission of Jesus. The kingdom of God that brings redemption, that brings reconciliation. A 24-year-old Peter Ingram, whose life is a complete mess, about to have a father, and all of a sudden the kingdom of God comes to him with healing, with life, with reconciliation, with purpose. The mission of Jesus all of a sudden is in his lap. Through another couple in the prenatal class, actually intentionally reaching out, loving their neighbor, and eventually sharing the good news about Jesus. It's the same kingdom that they announced in a prenatal class that Jesus announced. It's the same good news that Jesus announced that you are encouraged as a faithful Christian to announce and to share. Your job or our job is not to, it's not to bash, but it's also not to blend. You know, I've seen the worst of both ends. I've seen bashing and judging and hating, and sadly in our culture, Christianity, the church, the Bible, Jesus even, is seen by many as something oppressive, something judgmental, something vindictive. That gets its bad name from when we bash with the gospel. That's not how the gospel comes. But there's another huge problem as well, and that's blending. We're called to neither bash or blend. When we just blend in, we're so concerned with coexisting, fitting in, not losing friends, being approved of, being seen as normal. Can you really follow Jesus in this day and age and still be a normal person? And when we blend in and we never talk about our hope in Christ, we never share our faith, we're just blending in. And therefore, the gospel is compromised. Not compromised through Bible bashing, but compromised by just blending in. And we live and we die and nobody is impacted. Christ lives in us, but he never flows through us. And that is also a travesty. Jesus' mission culminates in each of the Gospels with this handing over of the mission to his followers. If you've been around church for a while, you'll be familiar with the Great Commission, as we call it. So Matthew 28:18, Mark 16:16. But also Luke and John also have their little ones as well. We've got in Luke 24:47, Jesus says, the message would be proclaimed in the authority. Oh, sorry, Luke says about Jesus, the message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent, and you are witnesses of these things. Everyone say witness. Everyone say witness. You know, the Greek word that we get witness from, the English word is witness, the Greek word that sits underneath that we translate from, actually means martyr. When Jesus says, go into all the world, be my witnesses, you're witness of these things. We think of witness as in a court of law and witnessing, and that's an element of that word. But actually at its base, it means to martyr, to lay down your life, to die for what you believe in. Jesus paid the ultimate price for the kingdom of God so that we don't have to pay that price for the forgiveness of sins. We just have to share that Jesus has already forgiven sins. Jesus' mission to reach people is also our mission to reach people, and everything else really pales in comparison. Now, I know this is challenging for us, and in a moment we're gonna worship again, and I want to just spend some time just letting this hit our hearts. But if you're really a Christian, if you're really following Jesus, if you're really growing in your faith, this is exactly what begins to happen. You start to realize that everything else does really pale in comparison. My coaching of the under sixes and my son playing soccer is here today, it's gone tomorrow. My life, my work, my job, my wage, my house, it's fantastic. My holidays, it's great. My wife, beautiful. All those things are fantastic. But many of these things are momentary. Our lives come and go so quickly. Friendships come and go so quickly. Things move so fast. So many things that we, you know, are so anxious about and have sleepless nights about. They come and go so quickly. They're not really that bad in the end. But God's great call that has gone out since the beginning of creation, that goes out to every nation, this is an eternal call that will never go away. The good news about Jesus is something that will never go away. It has eternal ramifications. This mission to reach people is not some vision statement from Discover Church. It's not some cool pop Christian thing that some churches are doing. It's not some rad conference that I went to that, oh, now let's get on the latest Christian model. If you've known me for long enough, it's not how I work as a pastor. I don't care about models of churches. I don't care about what someone else is doing. I'm not influenced by pop Christianity or by celebrity pastors. I'm not looking for a microphone. I'm not looking for a title. I'm not looking for a platform. I'm way more interested in preaching to you on a Sunday than I am in preaching to 2,500 at State Youth Games, although that would be great. The numbers mean nothing to me. What means everything to me is what God has asked me to do, and I want to be explicitly obedient to that. People will come and go. You might not like our church next week and leave and send me a nasty email, and that's fine. Get those all the time. It's fine. But what is vitally important to me is that I follow Jesus and what he's asked me to do. And what is important for you is that you do exactly what God has asked you to do. You answer to him. You can't say, oh, my pastor didn't preach that to me. Sorry, I didn't know God. You will answer to God for yourself. My job is to show you and to highlight to you what the Bible says. And the New Testament is full of reaching people, sharing the gospel, prioritizing the proclamation of the good news about Jesus above everything else, even family. I know it's not, you're not allowed to say that these days. I feed my family and got to love my kids and got to send them to the right school. But even above family, even Jesus Christ himself said, my mother can wait at the door. I have work to do, because he was doing the Father's work. Probably the wrong time to say a sideways statement like that without explaining it, but I'll explain all of that later. What I'm trying to emphasize is that this mission of the gospel is so important. We can have the band up. That'd be great. I just want to take a moment to worship, and all I want us to simply do is just focus outward. There's a couple of great questions that we've set aside for our life groups this week. The first one is that everyone would just share their personal story, just about your salvation story, like you heard from Pastor Pete. How did you come to follow Jesus? And then secondly, just to talk about, is there somebody God's putting on your heart to reach? So the second one there, identify and pray for a friend that God is trying to reach. I'm not trying to share the gospel with 54 people in my life, but I know there's one or two that I'm praying for, that I'm building a friendship with, that aren't a professing Christian, and that maybe God wants to do something there. This message is not a message of condemnation. You should, if you're going to be a proper Christian, you have to like get out there and get on street corners and preach the gospel. That is not the message of Jesus at all. The encouragement, though, is to be in the game and to grow in your faith and to overflow in your passion for Jesus by just sharing that with a friend. The best way to start evangelism, if you're not doing it, the best way to share the gospel, if you haven't done it for a while, is to first start with prayer. To actually get your heart right with God, to actually let God speak to you and show you, hey, there's a person there. Maybe there's a Peter Ingram in your prenatal class who looks pretty well put together, who looks like he's going to be a great dad. You imagine meeting Pete at 24. Like, you think he's full of energy now? He turned 58 this week. Imagine him, you know, half a lifetime ago at 24. He would have been bouncing off the walls. Probably looked like he didn't have one problem in the world. Only God knows what's happening in hearts. It could be someone right next to you at work, right in your school, right in your university, wherever, that needs the gospel. And God is waiting for you to get it. To get it in the spirit, to get it in a prayer time, to understand it. God reaches people through people. God reaches people through people. And it's in our life groups, as we talk about that this week, I believe that's just going to help encourage this, get us going. Sometimes it's hard when you come into a new series, a bit cold, you got to get going, you got to get into it. I hope you're already living like this, and if you are, that's fantastic. If you're not, we want to get ourselves moving there as a church.